Thank you, Lord. I remember when I first come here, I had to be the greeter, take up the offering, preach, sing, youth pastor, take everybody to camp. I was bus driver, yard man. Hallelujah. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to see people walking in their gifts. It is. Don't miss this coming Sunday. And I feel like the Lord's told me this Sunday is going to set us up for the summer. It's going to set us up for the summer season and keep people plugged in. Let's all stand. Let's hold up our Bibles if you have your Bible. If you don't, hold up your hand tonight. And thank y'all, band, so much. Katie, it's good to see you, baby. You doing good? Foot and ankle and all? I remember that. Are you doing good with it? Post-op? Well, don't overdo it. If I take off running now, I don't mean run behind me unless the Holy Spirit tells you, okay? All right, y'all ready? Repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. And I can have what it says I can have. Tonight I will be taught the incorruptible, indestructible seed. Say it again. Seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, 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 never. Now back up, devil. It's preaching time at Oaky Grove. And all God's people said, amen. Remain standing. Open your Bibles tonight to Romans 14. Romans 14. You don't want to miss this word tonight. Romans 14. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many will agree to pray about Sunday? Be praying real hard this week. Would y'all put your hand up if you'll pray for me this week and pray about the service Sunday? Thank you. Thank you so much. Praying for God to move in a mighty way. I want you to pray for Rehoboth too. We love our Rehoboth family. I tell them I'm their assistant pastor. When they get loose and come over here, we're so glad to have them. And we're glad for the good things God's got going on over there. That's definitely our sister church, our closest church in this area. Romans 14, and I want to read just one verse tonight. Romans 14 and verse 17. If you found it, say amen. The Bible says, for the kingdom. Everybody say, for the kingdom. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. Everybody say righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that in these moments, Lord, you would speak to us, that you would maximize these moments, and that, Lord, there would be a fresh word, there'd be a rhema word, and, Lord, it would just absolutely get deep in our spirit. We pray that, God, we'd remember this word tonight because, Lord, it's crucial. I ask you now to give me unction to preach. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd open the hearts and minds of each one here, those that will hear by internet, and those also, Lord, that will be listening through the CD ministry. Lord, wherever these CDs go, whether they be to Africa, Mexico, Canada, all across this country, or just around the corner, we pray, God, you would use them for your glory and change lives. We praise you. We thank you for the risen Christ, our Savior. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I just want to take this verse apart. It's odd if I break something down tonight. Lindsay tells me, Pastor, I like it when you break stuff down. I'm going to take this apart. I like doing that, but there's always a danger when you go to taking something apart. I remember the story, Brother Keith Newsom. He's probably, Lori's, they're moving in their new old house, and she's probably got him painting, working like a Trojan. That's why he isn't here tonight. I don't know that, but A few years ago, Brother Keith told me a story about a friend of his. A friend of his had a little boy that was just mesmerized with tools. He's about 5, 6 years old, maybe. And one day he had a little buddy during the summertime spend the night with him. And the daddy went to work, had a babysitter there. Mama's at work, had a babysitter there. I don't guess babysitter kept a close eye on the little boys, little 5, 6-year-old boys. Well, the daddy had bought a new tractor, small tractor, brand new. And anybody knows these little small tractors, they can cost more brand new than a good-sized tractor. You know, it's just a little bit used. It's amazing what they get for these little small tractors. Right, Donnie? You know what I'm talking about. I mean, them jokers are high. And so anyhow, the little boy told his daddy when he left to go out to work, said, "Daddy, I'm going to work on the tractor." He said, "That'll be fine, son." The little boy had little plastic tools, you know, and things. The daddy came home about 5:30 from work. His brand new John Deere 4-wheel drive miniature tractor, Ashley, is totally dismantled. Those little boys had found his daddy's socket wrench set. And wrenches and tools, and they took that tractor apart. I said, "Keith, what did he do? Did he put it back together?" Keith said, "He tried to, but he couldn't figure out how to do it." He said, "Last time I heard, it had been laying out there about a year. The whole tractor took apart. He never could get it back together." That's something. You got to be careful when you break something down because you need to know how to put it back together. Can I get an amen? I notice on Facebook and internet, a lot of times I see people that are novices. They are people that think they know a lot about the Word of God, and they will break down a verse, but they have no idea how to put it back together again. You can take one phrase out of the Bible and make it say anything you want it to say. There's even scriptures in the Bible that says God is asleep. That's not true. We know He's not asleep, but in the context, it's asking the question, is God asleep? And I'm going to tell you, I'm really tired of this. In fact, people that have been doing that, I've seen things that are so hateful and hate-filled. And let me tell you something, that's not God. I'm going to tell you another little story. Y'all still with me? I'm not keep you long tonight. Y'all know I recently just finished up a revival up in West Virginia. Pastor Harry accompanied me there. And, boy, all those little old ladies love Harry up there. Let me tell you. He could marry the coal miner's daughter tomorrow if he wanted to. I'll just tell y'all. Loretta Lynn, let me tell you. She must have some family up there because they all talk like her and they love Harry. Let me tell you, we walk in that church or any of those churches, he's like a doggone celebrity. I mean, they just all just gravitate towards him. I reckon so. When you got it, you got it. I reckon so. But I want to tell you a story about West Virginia. You need to get this or you're not going to understand the rest of the message if you don't get this little story part right here. Long years ago, when you think of West Virginia, besides the hard circumstances a lot of them are in, besides mountains, what do you think of, in a word? What's one word that comes to mind when you think of West Virginia? Huh? Coal. I was looking at Bobby, BJ, Billy Joe, because I was thinking, y'all went to the coal museum, you and Randy and some of y'all. I thought they'll be my straight men there. But coal. And years ago in the coal mines, they didn't have the technology like they have today. One of the biggest killers in the coal mines is from gas. Radon or argon gas. It comes up out of the ground naturally, and it's you can't smell it. Also, carbon monoxide. You can't smell it. It's a silent killer. And you can be working, and all of a sudden, you just faint and pass out, and you're gone. Unless somebody gets you out of there quick. And so years ago, before they had the technological advances we have today with air sensors and things like that that they keep down in the mines to monitor the air quality, they would... Who's got the mic?
But they asked her to stay over at 5:30.
Tell them to get off the mic. Get off the radio. I thought I was going crazy. I was saying about that little girl in that scary movie, you know, that just appeared. I thought, Jaffe would leave out. Well, they would put the canaries in the mine. Thank you, Richard. They would have canaries in the mine in little cages, and all day long the miners would look at the canaries, and as long as canaries were alive and singing, they knew everything was all right. Got that? There's three canaries that I want to talk to you about in just a few minutes tonight that we need to be mindful of. Because if these three canaries aren't alive and singing in your life, if these three canaries aren't active in your life, then let me tell you something. You're really in a slow spiral, or a fast spiral, possibly. But it means that you're in a dead relationship. Not means you're dead spiritually, but your fellowship with God is dead. And these are three canaries that will point that out. Look at our scripture. Do you know how to pull up a scripture on there, Salette? Our PowerPoint people aren't here tonight. She's doing a good job, though. Look at this verse in your Bible. Romans 14, verse 17. It says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink." Now, let me just deal with that. Can I break that down just a second? The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Now, when you read that, you think, well, of course not. That doesn't even make sense. You got to understand what is behind that, what they're talking about. In that day, in the Jewish way of worship, meat and drink was so important. It was about certain foods you could eat, certain foods you could not eat, right? You remember the Jewish religion? You couldn't eat certain things, you could eat certain things. You had to drink certain things, other things you couldn't drink. He said it's not about that. And there's a lot of people today, and I'm saying that's where we need to get a hold of this part. Their worship, their religion, if I could say it that way, their walk with God is more about external things than internal things. Okay? It's more about what everybody else can see. And it's more about what I taste with my sensory perceptions. That's the reason some churches, they've got to have the light shows in their church. They don't have windows anymore. They black everything out where they can control the lighting. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but I'm going to tell you, I think it's a little manipulative of people's emotions. Because you can use lights at different times and different colors and all of this. You can manipulate people's emotions. And I'm scared of that. I'd rather let the Holy Ghost do that, okay? I trust the Holy Spirit. I don't trust man, okay? I don't trust myself. And you know what? If you're wise, you won't trust yourself either. The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked and we don't even know it. But there's so many that's caught up in the meat and the drink. That is the periphery, the sensory, the things I feel and touch. And that's why they can go to a church and they see, you know, 400 children, their child's age. They say, that's where we're supposed to be. That does not mean that's where you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be where God calls you to be. Maybe God's called you to a church with no children to help build up the children there. Maybe God's called you to a church full of children, but to help the children there be discipled in the ways of Christ. You know, I see this so much today. People like to get their kids or their families to church where they can just put it on autopilot and do nothing. I see so much of that. Let me tell you, that's not the way in the early church it was. You got involved. If you wanted it to happen, you prayed about it, and with God's help, you made it happen. You did those things. And I think it was good training for me when I first started here. I started out talking about I was this, that, and the other. That was good training for me. And I'm going to tell you, it's good for God's people to be workers and get involved. Don't be caught up in the sensory things, the fleshly things, because there's so much fleshly worship going on right now. And we have to guard against that. I know a church I've been to before and preached a couple of revivals. You get to that church and it's like at a certain time in the service, a light switch is going to flip. Not literally a light switch, but it's like somebody has a breaker or a bat switch or something they hit, and all of a sudden, this one's going to do this, one's going to give a message in tongues, and another's going to fall out, and another, and if they don't have that happen at every service, they don't believe they worship God. Let me tell you what, that is nothing different than vain religion. Because you're programming God that He's got to do things a certain way. Listen, if God wants to do those things, that's great. You know, don't quench the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. I'm not for quenching the God's Spirit. But at the same time, don't feel like you've got to gin it up. But that doesn't mean also that when you come and just because you're tired, you're not supposed to kind of step out and put your heart into the worship and sing out and raise your hands and praise the Lord. I think sometimes we're a little too far to the other way. We just kind of sit back. And some of us need to have a little more Holy Ghost in us or something. But then we got these three canaries. Y'all still there? Say amen. Three canaries. It says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The first canary is righteousness. If you want to know how your walk is going with God, if you want to know how your relationship is with God right now, what kind of life are we living? Are we living a righteous life? That's what righteousness means. It means to do right. Irk Russell, the first day during summer football camp with the fresh incoming freshmen, the first thing he did in the locker room, he'd gather them all around. He'd have a rattlesnake in a box. He'd have a man that could handle snakes, pull the rattlesnake out, throw it on the floor, and all the guys would run against the wall and scream like little girls. And he'd say, that's what drugs will do to you. That's what drinking will do to you. He said, I've got two words to tell you boys if you want to play football for me. Do right. Do right. And that's basically what righteousness means. Kingdom of God's not meat and drink. It's not the outside stuff. It's not the flashing lights. It's not the things that you see with your eyes and touch with your hands. That's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is where God is operating, where God's anointing is, where God is moving, where God's presence is, where the yoke and the burden of the devil is broken and chains are taken off of people and the dead rise and the lost are saved. The kingdom of God is God's power, and it's His place of authority on this earth. And the kingdom of God, by the way, reaches all the way from heaven down to earth and encompasses the whole universe. That's God's kingdom. It's a big kingdom. But anyhow, righteousness. If that canary isn't singing in your life, I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how much everybody admires you. How good a preacher you are, how good a singer you are, Sunday school teacher you are, or whatever. If there isn't righteousness there, then let me tell you, there's something wrong in your walk with God. What is righteousness? Well, it's a lot of different things. It's anything basically in the Word of God. But it means to do right. What would Jesus do? You remember those bracelets, WWJD? Ask yourself, what would Jesus do about this person that was ugly to me? Would they be ugly back? What would Jesus do concerning this temptation? Would He give in or would He say no to the temptation? He'd tell the devil, when the devil tried to tempt Him, He said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He wouldn't give in to the temptation. So righteousness, righteousness. There's a second canary, peace. Peace. You know, this canary is absent from so many people's lives, they wouldn't even know it, I don't think, if they had it. How many people do you know live their lives on the ragged edge? They're constantly tormented from one thing to another. They go from one drama to another drama. I had somebody recently trying to pull me into their drama. You know what I said? I read this and I thought it's God. I said, it's not my circus and it's not my monkeys. Bless God. I got enough monkeys in my family. I'm probably the monkey's uncle, the worst of all. But I'm going to tell you, some people love to get themselves involved in drama. They live for it. And they don't know what peace is. Jesus said, I'll give you a crazy peace. Actually, the way he said, I'll give you a peace that passes all understanding. I mean, it seems crazy to the natural mind how I can have peace when I've gotten a bad report. I'm still not worried about it. How can I have peace when I've got the pink slip from my boss? But God can give that kind of peace. Let me tell you, if that canary, listen, Glenda, if the canary of peace isn't singing, just like the canary singing of gold mine, there's something wrong where you at in your walk with God. You're supposed to have peace. God has not called us to strife, but he called us unto peace, the Bible says. God's not the author of confusion. God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Let me tell you, that's peace. That's peace. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you, and I give you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Hallelujah. He said, I am the Prince of Peace. And so let me ask you, are you worried all the time? Are you constantly just upset? Are you constantly on the edge, tore up about something? Let me tell you, if you are something, it's not something wrong with God, but it's something wrong in the, and I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you, but just in the way you're walking out this thing called faith. You need to try it a little differently. Maybe you need to do what the preacher said, read the word every day. Listen to good praise music. Quit listening to some of that trash on the radio that gets your mind on wrong things. Maybe you need to, you know, let your life and your circle of friends, some of them need to be like you're on an elevator. Every now and then you need to stop and let a few off. Amen. I've let a few people off my elevator lately. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Then the third canary that will always be singing if you're in a healthy relationship with God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And it's not just joy, but it's joy what? In the Holy Ghost. Joy in the Holy Ghost. You see that? That all comes together. It's not separated by any punctuation, but it says, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You know one of the most telltale signs that somebody's into a false religion and going the wrong way is that they don't have joy. They don't have joy. I remember when I first got ordained, probably maybe a year into it, I got the following after this minister from Texas. Sonny Piles was his name. He's quite a preacher. He could preach 2 and 3 hours and you'd be spellbound. He would take his Bible at the pulpit. He would never even open it, not because he didn't believe the Bible, but because he had such a mind. He was brilliant. He could quote pretty much the whole Bible. Amazing. I learned so much from that man. But there was one problem with this man's preaching. There was an absolute meanness down at the very heart of it. In time, he was preaching at a church not too far from here, in the Lexi area, if you know where that is. And one night he was preaching there, and he preached probably 40, 50 revivals a year. He was in great demand. Traveled all over the country. I went to see him many times. But one night there, he got on the floor and started barking like a dog. He absolutely lost his mind. What I'm trying to tell you, I followed after that guy for a long time. I would get his, back then we had tapes. Y'all remember the tapes? I had a little tape recorder. And I'd do my studying for Georgia Southern, and then I'd get that tape recorder, and I would listen to these tapes. Some of them, I mean, it was quite often, it was 1.5, 2 hours of preaching on one subject.
And I would listen to it one tape over and over till I pretty well knew it all. I would stop it, rewind it, listen when I didn't understand something, listen to it again. I might listen to the same little 30 seconds five or six times or more till I really got it up here. And I found myself getting that same meanness in my spirit. I was at my first church out from Twin City, Antioch Church, if y'all know where that is. And I went into a church, and we started being blessed. We started growing almost immediately. We were really blessed. But I remember there were some that were coming, and I started whipping them with the gospel. That doesn't mean you don't reprove and rebuke. You do. But you know, like I've said many times, any jackass can say, just tell it like it is. But it takes a man of God that's anointed to tell it like it is in a way that they can receive it. The Bible says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. And I started running people off. I really got down on the Catholics, and I don't agree with the Catholic religion at all. I don't agree with Mormonism. I've done a thorough study of all the cults of the world, and Mormonism is definitely a cult. So is Jehovah's Witnesses and a lot of others. Because they deny the absolute deity and sonship of Jesus Christ. Anything that doesn't acknowledge that is a cult, according to the Word of God. But it's amazing. Have you ever noticed sometimes two things can't fit together in the same spot? You can think of stuff like that. Like, for instance, I remember when I moved to Jacksonville, Florida, we had two cats that had to go with us. One of them's name was Missy, and she was a bad joker, I'm going to tell you. That joker would fight the vacuum cleaner. There were scratches all on the vacuum cleaner because I'd run that thing at her, and boy, she'd slap it. I mean, tear. That's a bad mama. The other cat's name was Mama Kitty. I know that's very original, isn't it? She's an orange tabby cat. And I remember I put them in a pet carrier. I had one pet carrier. And I was driving a Jeep Cherokee, I think, at the time. Anyhow, so I was driving to Florida, moving. Every time I go around a curve, because I went 301 and down to number one down that way, I go around a curve, them cats would slide together. And all of a sudden you hear, I mean, boy, we got there. I mean, those tufts of hair missing out of Mama Kitty, because that Missy was a bad joker. She was bad. Big old long-haired black and white cat. I mean, she didn't take no mess. And so we got there and moved in the house. We were going to just rent or lease for a while, decided where we wanted to live. And lived out near the beach and had a little small backyard about as big as from here to that wall and as wide as this room. That was the whole backyard. If that, I probably wasn't that big. Had one of those privacy fences. You've seen those wood privacy fences. I told Renee, my wife at the time, I said, whatever you do, don't let that cat out the door. I said, don't let Mama Kitty out, the orange tabby cat. I said, why? I said, because she drove her car. She wasn't riding with me. I mean, I about needed some Xanax by the time I got there after hearing these cats fight for 2.5-3 hours. I said, you just don't let her out. Well, what's about the first thing she did when we got there? She opened the screen door and let the cat out, and I watched her. She went over the fence. I mean, she climbed up that fence, and I saw that orange tail as she went over. She'll be back tomorrow. That cat ain't never come back. She was gone, Jack. Gone. Those two could not live in the same place. And let me tell you something. Joy and bitterness can't live in the same place. If that canary of joy isn't singing in your heart tonight, the joy in the Holy Ghost, that's that joy that can't nobody explain. See, joy is different from happiness because happiness comes from what happens to you. Joy is unexplainable. It comes from somewhere. There is a river that, whoo, my God. Lord have mercy, that'll preach. I felt the Holy Ghost on that. There is a river. There is a river.
river that flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees your soul from sin. Oh, come to these waters. There is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. Isn't that true? Let me tell you, if those three canaries aren't singing tonight, find the ones that are dead and go to the Lord and say, Lord, I need a new canary. And get those things singing in your life. You'll be blessed. You received the word tonight? Give God the praise. Give Him the praise. Come on, Lindsay. David. Katie. Come on. Hallelujah. Ronnie. Katie's flew the coop with a canary. Come on, Jeff. Need you tonight, brother. Come on back down. I think everybody thought Jeff's still gone. He'd been cruising. Jeff got that. If y'all notice Jeff's hair sticking up back a little bit. He got down there to Nassau. You know, there's these people that'll plait your hair. He got his hair plaited. Had them beads all in it and stuff. Yeah, glory to God. It was wild looking. It looked like dreadlocks. Wouldn't that, Jeff, be something look like that? I might buy one of them wigs. Just see what it looked like in it. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. I got a joy tonight that the world didn't give me. It can't take it away. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lord, let them canaries sing. What are we singing tonight? Leave me a stand. Let's change it. I'm going to change it on you. Let's sing Victory in Jesus. I'm feeling a little more country tonight than I am contemporary or something. Yeah, glory to God. She's been all into Southern gospel. I said, what's happening to you? A body snatcher done got you or something? She's been into Dottie Rambo. Hallelujah. Tears will never stain the streets of that city. That's what she's been working on. That's going to be good, isn't it? I heard an old story how a Savior came from glory. If you need prayer, come on down. On Calvary to save a wretch like me. See, if you mess up, you don't quit. You just keep going. I'm trying to teach these. Of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and... Take it, Lindsay.
Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.